A U.S. delegation led by Democratic Congressman Richard Neal is in Ireland this week to meet politicians over the controversy surrounding the Northern Ireland Brexit Protocol. It comes at a time when Anglo-Irish relations are considered to be perhaps at their worst in a generation, with the Irish government saying British actions have damaged trust. We've been speaking to David Lidington, a former British Conservative Party minister who was involved in Brexit negotiations under Prime Minister Theresa May and regarded as, in effect, as her deputy. Does he see a way to resolve differences over the protocol?
I can see it, and I desperately hope that it's reached, because I think the situation, the political situation in Northern Ireland is becoming more risky, more difficult by the day. The polarisation of Northern Ireland politics is something that's really bad news for Northern Ireland, the whole island of Ireland, and for the EU and the UK alike. But yeah, there's a landing zone, but it requires both sides to compromise. And I think it needs to involve something that brings down significantly the onerous elements of checks and inspections deriving from Brexit and the transferring products from Great Britain to Northern Ireland. But also, I would argue that it requires the UK government to be calmer and sort of a bit more grown up about accepting a degree of alignment with EU standards. So I think that we need to see movement from both sides if we're going to get a deal. But I just think that what is at stake in Northern Ireland, the continuation of power sharing, is so important that both sides owe it to the people of Northern Ireland to get on and make that compromise.
And do you think a resolution can be found within the terms of the protocol as it stands? Because that's the key fault line, isn't it? The UK is looking to renegotiate the protocol. The EU says that's simply not, it's not going to entertain that at the moment. It will look at trying to make changes within the terms of the treaty as it is.
Politics is about finding solutions. And I think there are ways in which this could be done. The British government's always said that trade between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland and across the border, it will have to be regulated by a treaty between the EU and the UK. So accept the need for a treaty of some kind, and I think that probably what we have to have is a combination of starting with implementation of the protocol. And we have evidence now, after a couple of years, that the degree of risk to the single market from cross-border trade so far has proved very, very small indeed. So I think it's fair to use that evidence to say, well, perhaps you don't need all the sort of checks and inspections that you need when you have containers coming into the European single market ports from America or from China or from Turkey. And Northern Ireland, cross-border trade, Northern Ireland to Ireland, is a tiny, tiny fraction of even UK Ireland trade, or let alone UK-EU trade, or the size of the single market as a whole. So I think that there's an issue there about proportionality that one could ask the EU to give a bit on. Right. And then the other things, the EU's already said it's changed its law on medicines to ensure better supply of medicines to Northern Ireland. So they're open to changes in the law, but I do think the UK side needs to move as well, except that there's going to be a need for a protocol. Let's accept that the British government, the Johnson government, negotiated this. They signed it. They campaigned to win an election on it.
And now,
you could say, you can have a program then to say, well, perhaps after another 2 years, we will review this again and look at whether changes to the protocol might be considered, and work on that basis.
But the situation we're in now is that the UK government is threatening unilaterally to disavow parts of the protocol, to break that international treaty, which, as you say, the Johnson government itself negotiated. Should that threat be taken off the table?
Yes, it should. I mean, I regard that as very foolish for two reasons. I mean, obviously, it doesn't actually help matters when it comes to negotiating the right outcome for Northern Ireland and Ireland and the peace and political process. But also, at this time, when we are standing up to Vladimir Putin and seeking to uphold the importance of international law and treaty obligations, the treaties that bound Russia to respect Ukraine's independence and territorial integrity, all for that, that matter, the treaties the UK government is negotiating on trade with countries around the world that are important, to actually say, if we don't like a treaty we've signed that we've negotiated, we're going to scrap it unilaterally anyway. I mean, that's a silly way in which to, it's an immature way in which to go about serious political business. So I think they should take that off the table, and I think they should focus on detailed discussion with the European Commission. But also, I'd say to my old friend Maroš Šefčovič, talk to the Northern Ireland political parties directly. So, for example, before Brexit, there were actually checks and inspections on livestock going from Great Britain into Northern Ireland because of the whole island of Ireland being a single animal health area. So the DUP fully accepted that. It was in the interests of Northern Ireland. So are there other areas beyond livestock where actually you could say it's reasonable for Northern Ireland to have slightly different rules from Great Britain? And also, by the way, since a lot of this is devolved to Stormont anyway, can there be a setup where Stormont has some direct links into the EU to try to manage these things more smoothly in the future?
Just a final question. Anglo-Irish relations are now being characterised as perhaps their worst state in a generation. You were deeply involved during your time in office in Anglo-Irish relations. Trust, Simon Coveney says, has been damaged. How to rebuild trust?
You have to rebuild trust by, first of all, by everybody sticking to their word, which is why I just think it's so self-defeating for the UK government to be threatening to act unilaterally. And then there's just got to be constant conversation and try not to surprise each other. I mean, there will be difficulties in the relationship between London and Dublin, but then you need to warn each other if you're going to say or do something the other might be uncomfortable with, and you need to talk them through. And then you usually find you can narrow the gap, and even when you do differ, it's easier to express those differences with courtesy and with at least an understanding for the other side's reasons for what they're doing. And I would also say, post-Brexit, I really hope that we are able to start building up some bilateral structures for the UK-Ireland relationship, a regular annual, at least, summit between PM and Taoiseach, perhaps joint cabinet meetings once a year or meetings of key ministers regularly once a year, official dialogues that are structured so they don't have to be fitted in when everything else in the diary has been done. And post-Brexit, British and Irish officials and ministers see each other and speak to each other less frequently because we're not meeting in Brussels every week as we used to at European Council or co-repair meetings. We need new structures because this relationship is absolutely critical importance. Geography and history means we are going to be living together. What each of us do affects the other for the rest of history. We both have responsibility to try and have new structures so that we try to secure and build back trust rather than see it dissipate further.
And that was former British Conservative Party Government Minister David Lidington. Back with more after this short break.